Welcome, everybody, to the Monday, Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. This here is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang with you. We're going to get the mics open here very shortly for you, our guests and callers who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Just press the number one, join the conversation, and we'll be glad to hear from you. Prayer praises, prayer requests, and all those good things. Amen. Okay, we are waiting for Pastor Bonnet, and what we'll do, we'll start off with a song and get the show going. And so we hope everybody's having a good time tonight. We see we got Emily with us tonight.
Brother Jim.
Brother Jim.
Hey.
Hello.
Okay, Em, here's a good song for you tonight.
You met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claimed me 'cause I was made for so much more. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. No hate. With the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refused to let me sink under the pressure you meant for me to soar. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. Separate me from your love when there's so much more still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path, closing every door. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Hallelujah, here. Hallelujah, life.
Amen. Amen. You're worth fighting for. Amen. Isn't that wonderful to know that you are worth fighting for? That's right. You're worth fighting for. In fact, you're so worth it that Christ even died for you and me. Yes, he did. We are worth fighting for. So if he died for us, which is greater than a fight, surely he'll fight for us. Amen. Especially those of us that line up with his will and with his word. God bless you on this evening, this Monday evening. I want to say a very happy, happy birthday to my eldest son, Kenneth Jr. Happy birthday, son. We have been celebrating with him, and I thought to do a rerun on this program for today. But since I had said for the Bloodhound of Scripture to be done tonight, I couldn't do a rerun, so I had to pull away and to make room for you all today. I'm glad I did. I'm not sad at all. Amen. We've had a wonderful time celebrating his life. Amen. And this is his first birthday as a married man. Amen. But it is his 35th birthday as a man. Amen. And so we thank God for him, Kenneth Jr. Amen. That's right. I named him after me. Amen. I figure he's going to look like me, act like me. So let me just give him part of me. I gave him my name. Amen. Amen. And he has made me a proud father. Amen. All of my children, for that matter, they didn't repeat all the mistakes that I made. Now, they made their own. And they're going to make some more, just like I probably will, most likely will. Make some more mistakes, that is. That's what we all do. We live, we learn, and by the grace of God, we have the opportunity to right some wrongs that we may do, and we're thankful, and with courage, we go forward to right those wrongs. Amen. Many of you know that I am an ordained elder in the Church of God in Christ. I certainly believe in our affirmation of faith. Our affirmation of faith, and this is what I stand for, and this is what I believe. We believe that the Bible is, let me repeat that again. We believe that the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible written word of God. We believe that there is only one God, eternally existing in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the blessed hope, which is the rapture of the church of God, which is in Christ at his return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance and faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We believe that the regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe that the redemption work of Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body in answer to believing and prayer. We believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, according to Acts 2 and 4, is given to believers who ask for it. We believe in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy and separate life in this present world. Amen. Amen. On yesterday, we completed our series on that personal that development is a personal choice. And not only just your kingdom development is a personal choice, but your everyday life development is a personal choice. Whatever skills, whatever talent that you may have, whatever gifting that you may have, it's up to you to perfect those gifts. And not just to perfect them one time, but to keep perfecting them your entire life. That means you are to work until you're done. Say, the week prior, I spoke about the Apostle Paul, where he said, I have fought a good fight, over in 2 Timothy. I've kept the faith. He was at the end of his life as an old man. He has been faithful in the call of the gospel. He has been faithful to the charge that God has given him. And so he stated he fought a good fight. That was an individual personal choice. Because before his journey started, before he began to appeal to Caesar and all the ups and downs that he had to go through from that one decision, someone had came to him prior to and downed his robe and said and prophesied some things to him. And he said to him, why you break my heart? As if you're trying to persuade me not to do it. But I give my life to this. And he made a conscious decision that if it means that he has to suffer for the name of the Lord, he was going to suffer. If it means that he was going to have to endure his life being threatened, he was going to endure it. If it meant that he was going to have days of hunger, he was going to endure it. So at the end of his life, he was able to say, I have fought a good fight. And the only fight for you and I, brothers and sisters, is the fight of faith. It's simple. Fight the good fight of faith. Why? Because the fight of faith, that fight is the real struggle. Because it's hard to get anyone to do something that they have not faith in. There was a building on fire, and the little girl was in the second floor window, and it was firing, and the fireman said, jump. He said, no. He said, jump. I'll catch you. He said, no. And many of us in our mind were thinking, why won't she jump? Don't she know that the fire is going to kill her? But what we don't know is that she was playing with someone, probably a father, uncle, someone that she had trusted, and she was on the sliding board, and she said, yeah. And she jumped, and he didn't catch her. And that wasn't bad enough. And later on another event, somebody said, come on, jump. Jump off the trampoline. I catch you. And she jumped, and they didn't catch her either. So life had showed her that nobody was going to catch her. So it's hard for her to move past in her mind that this fireman who was trained, who had the skill, the wherewithal to catch her, was there to save her. And many times the life that we experience, we have many letdowns and setbacks in life, and those things that have set us back causes us to doubt, causes us to have unbelief. And so when the preacher says to you, just trust God, the first thing in your mind is, I can't even see it. The second thing is, I trust this person, and I trust that person. And so the tug of war for you, the struggle for you, is getting past failures, getting past those letdowns, those putdowns, moving past those things that hinder you from believing. One of the things I've done as a father while raising my children when they were young, I never taught them Santa Claus. I never taught them the Easter Bunny. I never taught them the Tooth Fairy and all of these other mystical creatures that are supposed to do this or that. I didn't do that. I didn't teach them the Easter Bunny. Many people said to me, oh, they're just children. Let them have fun. And I said, in so many words, no. I'm not going to teach my children a lie. Because when I tell them about God, whom they cannot also see, and when I talk about Jesus, who again, they cannot see, because that picture of a man that represent Christ, two things about it. Many of the pictures I've seen are not a right representation according to Scripture of his image. And secondly, I don't know. We wasn't there. We don't know exactly how he looked. Therefore, I wasn't going to teach them that. I wasn't going to teach them something negative, because when I teach them something positive and they find out the truth about the negative, how will they get over that hurdle? How will they move past that hurt? And I know some people say, oh, well, you're too safe. Well, that's good there. I'm glad I'm too safe. I'm glad I'm too sanctified. I'm glad I'm too whatever you're thinking that I am too much of. Thank you. Because when I was doing the things of the world, I was never too drunk. I never had too much partying. I never had too much this or that. You never said I was doing too much of the things of the world. So now that I'm loving God, I'm not going to let you tell me I'm doing too much for him. So when I go to church, I put on my best. Why? Because when I was in the world and I was going to a club, I put on my best outfit. I made sure it was matching from head to toe. I made sure I was clean as a whistle. Made sure I was sharp. And if I needed to, I went and bought something new. Now, if I can do those things in the world, for the world, how much more should I do for God? Nevertheless, I would not teach my children these things because I did not want them to face that struggle. But I began to teach them to know God is to experience God. To experience God is like going through life and filling the air at different times. Feeling that sometimes the air can be gentle. And then other times the air can be so to the point where the wind pushes you in a different direction. And just like we experience those things, we do not see them. But the experience is real. And so, yes, I cannot physically see Jesus. I cannot physically see God. But I can experience him through my feelings, through my emotions. I can experience him through his word. You ever read a good book? Oh, yeah. If you got deep into a book, that all of a sudden, whatever room you was in disappears. You ever got into a book where the sound around you disappears? That at some point in reading just the book, you begin to see the descriptions that are being described by the author. You begin to envision the characters you experience it because you got into it. I challenge you to get into the Word of God. I challenge you to get into the Bible just like you would your favorite novel. Maybe you're a movie buff. Mm-hmm. One that likes cinema. It's amazing to me. I grew up with a small TV, went black and white. It later became color and got a little bigger. And now I've had a screen and have a standard screen. I don't know what standard really is. 40-something inches, I don't know. But when I get into a movie, it doesn't matter whether I'm watching it on the television or my smartphone. The very moment that I zoom into that program, I see nothing else. So if we can do that to these secular devices and these things of the world, how much more should we be able to zoom in to know the nature of God, to know who God is? We have 66 books, which is a love story to us to tell us he loves us. And it gives us history to know how much he loves us. And in spite of us, he still loves us. It shows us one person after the other person making mistakes after mistakes after mistakes. But yet God still used them for his movement. He used them to get his word out. He used them the way he made them, in spite of their past failures. Moses, one of the most profound people that have walked the earth. Moses is known as the lawgiver. He is recognized by other major religions. But yet Moses, the first 40 years of his life, he ended up committing manslaughter. Yeah, he killed someone. And he took a reprieve for 40 more years in the backside of a desert so God can train him all over again. Only to be released to guide for 40 more years of stiff-necked people that was rebellion, but yet God still called them his people. David, King David, very profound leader, but he had a man killed just so he can get a and get him another wife. Couldn't have been a leader, but yet he was. And it is that same David that God said, this is a man after my very heart. Wow. I'm telling us this today because sometimes in our walk of life, we just feel so unworthy. And we feel useless, and we feel like God can't use us. Yes, he can, and he desired to. One prophet was very attentive one day, and he heard the triune God say, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And upon hearing those words, he just said, hear my Lord, send me. I want to know, do you have that kind of attitude today? That if God needed a vessel that would deliver the message that is needed to be delivered to someone in need, will you go? Will you be bold enough to speak up and to proclaim? Or will you hold on to your insufficiencies in life and say, you can't use me. I cheated on my taxes. Lord, you can't use me. I've been known as a liar. Lord, you can't use me. I've been divorced 3-4 times. Lord, you can't use me. I'm not eloquent in speech. Lord, you can't use me. Because I've done so much wrong. The Bible is full of men who have made wrong decisions, but yet God used them. And if God can use them, ma'am, sir, I serve you notice today that it is his will to use you. Yes, it is his will to use you. Now let me pause for a moment think I have Sister Ruth Wolfgang with us on this afternoon. And I want to give her an opportunity to do the Bloodhound of Scripture. And following that, I want to go into our testimony service. So I'm going to do that first. And to those of you that was looking for opening prayer, we're going to say it like this. Father God, have your own way in this program. In Jesus' name, amen. That's our prayer. And we're moving forward. Sister Ruth, God bless you, woman of God. If you would come and give us our Bloodhound of Scripture. And for those of you that's on tonight, that's not normally on Sunday, this is one of those scriptures that we are given 1 week, and it is our job to search it out, to find it in the Bible, and whoever can find it first, you're going to get the happy horn. And but if you get it wrong, well, that's going to be a different note. Come on, Sister Ruth.
Okay. All right, here we are. All right. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. That's the first one.
Okay, one more time, Ruthie.
Yeah.
Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God.
All right. That should be in Hebrews. Oh, let me give somebody else a chance.
Getting eager, are you, Pastor Bonnet?
King James Version, then say I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. To do thy will, O God, Hebrews 10 and 7, chapter 10, verse number 7.
Yay, got it.
Yeah, he's got it. And that kind of gives us a little notice that when you have your Bible in your hand, you're basically holding Jesus because he comes in the volume of the book. Amen.
Amen. I echo that song.
Good job.
Yay. All right. And for those of you that's listening, this is going to be our Bloodhound of Scripture that you need to search out by Sunday.
All right, Ruthie, go ahead.
Thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar.
Ouch. Okay, do that again.
Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar.
Ooh. That's a good one for everybody.
That's good. Give it one more time. One more time.
Okay. Add thou not unto his words, he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar.
Okay. Amen. All right. All right. We don't want to be found as a liar, so amen. That's don't be saying God said and he ain't saying, so amen. I think Brother Six is with us on this evening. I want to say good evening to you, sir. God bless you. God bless Princess McKeb. God bless you, Mr. Wolfgang. Good evening. I'm sorry, I spoke over you. Good evening, Brother Charles.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well. It's good to hear your voice on this Monday evening. I don't know if you heard me earlier, but today is my son's birthday, my eldest son.
All right. Happy birthday.
Yeah. I thought it would be nice for you to say happy birthday to him, but, you know, it's getting late in the hour, so I'm not going to make you strain your voice just this time. Or, you know, we may catch you earlier in the day when you're more fresh, you know. We know you've probably been working no vocal cords all day, so we're going to give you a little break this time. That's okay?
All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. That's Kenneth Jr. Happy birthday from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy.
Amen, amen, amen. His wife bought him a wonderful cake.
Right.
It was built like the new Nintendo game. I think it's Nintendo 5. And so it had the little remote to it and the X's, the O's, the squares, and the triangle. So it was pretty neat. It was pretty neat. And we did it as a surprise to him. So it was pretty good. It was pretty good. I think it was nice for him. He was pleasantly surprised. You know, he knew something was going on because she said she had to work today. He's like, it's my birthday. He said, so the Lord let him go back to sleep.
That's all right.
Yeah, so, but we had a good time. So just close family. So, man, we just had a good time. Thinking of birthdays, you know, I'm just thankful for all the birthdays, you know, each one of us get an opportunity to get a year older. Amen. I got some time before mine's come up, so I'm still holding on. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, all right, all right, all right. I want to talk back, audience, tonight. So, Emily, Ruth, Wolfgang, Charles, and whoever else on the line, I want to talk by church. Amen. So if you haven't pressed 1 on your phone, please press it now. Just a little talk back because I'm interested in a dialogue dealing with a word called obedience. Okay? Obedience. O-B-E-D-E-N-C-E. Obedience. Can someone just tell me your simple definition of the word obedience? Anybody? Come on,
okay,
that's not all I'm talking about.
Okay, I'm going to start off with my definition of it comes from when I've been a 3-time service dog or like C&I dog user. It comes from that terminology. When I've had them, they stress the importance of good obedience. That means having the dog under good control is where, because if the dog was out of control, that means the dog wasn't obedient to its handler. So us as children of God, when we are not obedient to God, we're basically out of control.
Okay. I like that definition. Someone else? Thank you, Missionary. Anyone else? Come on. Actually, your definition of the word obedience. So, you know, I'm not looking for you to be Webster. Just give me your definition. Hello, somebody. What do the word obedience mean to you? Are y'all obeying the preacher now when I ask for everyone's participation?
Well, before I got jumped by this gang, I said follow with the test to the T without changing.
Okay, hold on a second.
Okay,
we got a echo here on the line. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to close everybody's mics and reopen them to see where the echo is coming from. Nope, it just stopped. Okay, so maybe that was just a fluke. Brother Charles, you were giving your definition of the word obedience.
Yes, I said following a task to the T without changing its order. Following it to the T.
Oh.
Obedience.
Okay. Okay. Good. Anybody else? Anybody else? One more, please. One more. Princess Nikhil, if you're there with us, would you mind giving us your definition if you're there, or Sister Ruth?
I'll just say, in relation to God, it's doing whatever he wants you to do.
Okay. All right. All of you all have your Bibles? Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Okay, there we go. So, Princess Nikhil, God bless you. To follow instructions, all right. That's
God bless you, too.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Now, thank you. Now, I feel like I have a good class now because I have had a good response. And to me, that was an act of obedience because I asked and you responded accordingly. So that was a sign of obedience, doing what was asked. But in the New Testament, faith itself, faith, F-A-I-T-H, is obedience. And unbelief is disobedience. So let's walk through it and see what the Bible has to say as it relates to that, okay? So, again, Romans chapter 6, verse 17. It says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that from of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. So, being in sin was a rebellion to God. The original sin, God told Adam not to do something, and the day that he would do, they would surely die. And that death was the separation from man to God, that way he was not able from that point on to have that certain communion with God face to face in the garden. So once that transpired, that sin took place, it trickled down through all the bloodline. And we were all disconnected because of our first father, Adam, who disconnected us, and he disconnected us through obedience. And that obedience, that disobedience, excuse me, is the word sin. Disobedience and sin goes hand in hand. Because if God's word says to do something, and we make the conscious decision not to do that which we know and understand, then that is rebellion, which is also disobedience, which is also sin. So we see that in Romans 17, which we had just read. And if I go back up to 16, it'll give you a little fill-in. It says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servant to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Then verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart. When we read Romans 10:9-10, okay, confess with your mouth, believe with your heart. Okay. So from the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. When we come and tell people that you can be born again, you can be saved, you can be redeemed, and we share the gospel with them, that good news, and they receive it in their heart, that is obedience in the New Testament. That is their faith trusting the taught or preached word that was delivered to them. And we're still in Romans 10. I mean, we're still in Romans. Let's go to chapter 10. And verse 16. Now, I'll back up just to fill this in. And now shall they preach except they... Okay. There you go. Let me back up just a little bit more. All right. Verse 14. And I'm reading down to 16, which is the emphasis I want to draw our attention to. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elias says, Lord, who has believed our report? So it lets us know when a person does not believe the gospel, that is unbelief. That is sin. That is disobedience. Because the gospel is true. And when you share truth with someone and they choose not to receive that truth, it is an act of disobedience, according to the New Testament teaching. Now, Christians obey, meaning imitating God's holiness. So we as Christians are to imitate his holiness. Well, how do we do that, Brother Preacher? Well, I'm so glad you asked. But there's someone who knows better than I, and that's fine what he says. So First Peter in the Bible, First Peter chapter 1, verse 15. It reads, "But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Wow. See, here's a level of obedience that sometimes we choose not to acquiesce to. You know, when we get to using those what's called bad languages, when we get to spew out our hatred towards another human being without just cause, we are not allowing God to really use us the way he chooses to use us. So once again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 says to us, this is what he says, "But as he which has called you is holy." Who called us? Jesus called us. Who died for us? Jesus died for us. Actually, the Holy Spirit is the one that's actually reaching out to us. And he's reaching out to us as we hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It is him that is affirming in our hearts that the information is true. So when we reject that and we deny it, that's disobedience. So when the Bible talks about there's no forgiveness for blaspheming the Holy Spirit, that's when you reject the Holy Spirit and say that the Holy Spirit is not true. Then since the Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity, if you can't receive his truth, then you can't receive Jesus. And if you can't receive Jesus, there's no atonement for your sin. And if there be no atonement for your sin, the righteous judge, God the Father, shall have no choice but to sentence you to eternal damnation in hell fire. Now, Christ's humility and love, We saw that in St. John chapter 13. Let us turn there together. St. John chapter 13. And we're going to turn that to the 14th verse. And the 14th verse reads, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye shall also ought to wash one another's feet." Jesus was giving us a principle on how to love one another and how to show humility. In other words, when it comes down to helping my brother and my sister in the Lord, I should have no shame in helping them, even if it means that I'm doing the job of a servant. In the upper class society, one will come in and water will be there for them to wash their feet, and a servant will come and take a sponge or rag material and wipe the dust from their feet because those roads was dusty that they traveled, so that if they come into the home, they didn't bring in the dust and the dirt, but they was able to be comfortable, and that revitalized their skin and kept it from drying out. There's so many more things. And so when we are loving one another, that we're that concerned. If I'm concerned about your feet, surely I'm going to be concerned about your spiritual wherewithal. I'm going to be concerned about your children, your marriage, your family. And so Jesus demonstrated this as he, after the Last Supper, they're there and Jesus girded himself as a servant and he began to wash all of their feet. Each one of them. He washed their feet one by one. Peter came, he came to Peter. Peter said, no, Lord, you can't wash my feet. And the Lord said, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part of me. Peter went to the screen. He said, well, then, Lord, wash me all over. Amen. But Jesus tells him, if your feet is clean, then you are clean. That means not his physical feet, but feet represent your path of life, where you're walking, where you're going, what you're doing. So if what you're doing is clean, you're clean. If your path is clean and your path is righteousness, then you are righteous. Amen, somebody. Amen. That was verse 14. Let's read verse 34 before we move on. Verse 34 in this same chapter. And it says, and a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, and if ye have love one to, not four, to another. There's an obligation to getting that love to you, to ensuring that you know that I love you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pause right now because I think I skipped testimony service. Amen. So right up in here is a good time to do a praise break. Amen, somebody. This is the time we're going to take a moment to do a praise break. I'll let you absorb some of the things that I've already said, and we'll be right back.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
Amen, amen. We want you to be safe. No texting and driving. Amen. We want you to be safe. Amen. So, I believe I testify while I have a chance. Oh, I believe I testify while I have a chance. Believe I testify while I have a chance. Oh, I may not have a chance anymore. All right. I saw you. Y'all joined right on in. All right. All right. One day we're going to be able to put together a three-part harmony. Amen. Come on. Somebody give God some glory. 3, 2, 1, it's your turn. Come on.
Well, I want to thank God for saving me. And, of course, we've been with the Bloodhound of Scripture tonight kind of reminded me of something we've been doing on Friday nights. With Pastor Bonnet getting the buzzer tonight, reminds me of where we've been on Friday nights. Everybody could join us for that. Pastor Bonnet's been trying to outdo six. with the song and poem that we've been doing on Friday nights. And 6 is 20 for 26, and will Pastor Bonnet make that? So far, he's 8 for 10, and he's got two good buzzers in a row. Well, will Pastor Bonnet make better than 6, or will 6 beat him? We're trying to see how that turns out. And also, upcoming this year on the 5th month, 6th day on the Friday show, we're doing a special show because it's going to be our 5th-year anniversary for the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show, and we're also going to be dedicating that as a special tribute to Mama Six Eyes. Six didn't know about that until tonight, so I thought I'd tell everybody about that so that we kind of get a little publicity ahead of time for that show. We want everybody to join us for that special show.
Amen, amen. And that's going to be on the 5th month. On the fifth month, sixth day. 6th day, okay. That'd be Friday.
Officially 5 years that we've been on Six Eyes Radio.
So the first Friday in May. I want to make sure that I can attend.
First Friday in May. First Friday in May.
Want to be certain that I can definitely be a part of that, because I love Mother Six. Amen. Mother Safford was an awesome person. Amen. Very beautiful woman. Princess Nakia, get me to laugh and how she talk about the relationship between Mama Six and old Six Eyes himself. But man, matter of fact, I love hearing Charles just imitate her from time to time. He might do it later on this evening, but I think that was just funny when I just heard him do that. Concert. amen. But we're still praying for him and his family. That is something that recently happened, and we want to continue to pray for them that they will continue to grow and grow in grace, and that God will heal those wounds that only He alone can heal. So we thank God for Mama Sanford. Amen. All right, anyone else with a testimony? Thank you, Missionary Ken.
Thank you. I appreciate that, everyone. Yes, well, first of all, God let me make the woke list earlier this morning, which got me to this point today. But as you know, we had a plumbing situation, got that fixed today, so I want to praise God for that. So that is my praise report. And hi, everyone. I'm listening from the heavens, me and Papa Six Eyes. We both love you. Pastor Bonnet, I'm still listening, and I still love you.
Thank you, Mama Six. Amen.
And Wolfman, Wolfgang, glad you're feeling better too. Nicole, hello. Ruthie and Emily, be good. And everyone else, Mama Six Eyes loves you.
Mama Six, you're allowed to call me Wolfman.
That's
Are
right.
You sure? Okay. All right, Wolfman.
Woo! I love it. Man, that is funny to me. That and old Ken talking about some, wow. Oh, I'm like, man, you don't come out. All right.
Glory.
Okay, I don't know what happened to the system there. Are we still connected?
Yes, sir. Your show now, press 1, to hear important instructions.
It is asking me, do I need to start my show now? I have no idea.
No, you're going, Pastor Bonnet. Go on.
All right. Anywho, anybody else got a testimony? I'm sorry. I love testimony service. I don't care what nobody else say. I believe the Bible says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, I ain't the smartest person of all, nowhere near, but it seems to me if we overcame by his blood and the word of there, who is the there? Are you there? Well, I'm there. Well, I'm here. I'm there, too. So my testimony helps somebody, and so can yours. Amen. No matter what life has offered you, your testimony is important to somebody so that they know that God is still healing, he's still delivering, he's still opening doors, he's still on the throne.
Amen. That, you could say that's our double-barrel shotgun to shoot the devil with. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. I know if I go to talking like that, and every time I go to talking like that, all my Baptist friends really get wound up. And don't let me start talking about the cross. Ooh-wee. Amen, amen, amen.
Now, we always say, send him back to flame duty. You know, send the devil back down where he belongs.
That's right, that's right. Amen. All right, is there another testimony? Amen, there's another testimony. I'm enjoying this obedience and disobedience. Is obedience and faith, they go hand in hand. Amen. I hope, matter of fact, this allow me to poll the audience. Is it helping somebody? Is this word blessing you? Is it encouraging you? Does it mean something to you? Am I talking good or am I just making a lot of noise? Now, if I'm just making a lot of noise, y'all can tell me.
Hey, I'm enjoying it. Keep it going.
Keep going, buddy. God bless you. You're doing wonderful.
Amen, amen, amen. So let's pick back up here. So we see there in St. John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus, who said it? Jesus said it. You know, if you got the King James Version of the Bible, the red letters in the New Testament are words that he stated. They're what he said. And so since this is what he said, then if we don't want to be disobedient, then we need to listen to what he say. So here is what the Lord said in that 34. And I'm going to back up just a little bit. To verse 31, just to give you a more full or complete picture. 31 says, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment. Wow. So we done had some 10, you know, for everybody to say there's only 10 commandments. Is this a new one? That makes 11, don't it? I'm just saying. I mean, but anyway. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. I got to pause right there because I want us to really think about this scene. This is the Last Supper. He done washed their feet. He's being betrayed by Judas. He know it. He tell him, go do it quickly. And he says, love one another as I've loved you. He could have stopped Judas, but he didn't, because it was the will of the Father that he should die. It was the will of the Father that he should go before this mock trial. It was the will of the Father for him to suffer, for our sake. And yet, he did it without complaining one single note. I don't know about you, but if you took a whip, never mind all the stuff that they had on the end of the whip, bone, glass, and nail. Just a plain old leather strap. Mm-mm. And hit my back, I'm probably going to hit the highest pitch I can hit. Oh, Lord! No more! Mm-mm. And if I was the Lord, y'all wasn't going to do that to me. Nah, I was going to die for y'all, but I ain't finna let you just put your hands on me like that. Nope. So when the Bible said, no greater love than this, that a man will lay down his life for a friend, while we were still disobedient, while we was in sin, he still called us friends. Because he saw our potential. He saw who we could be. And although we were still trying to learn how to walk, how to talk, learning which way to comb our hair, he loved us. So we have a mighty God. You know, the song says, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God
mighty
we serve.
God we serve.
Angels bow before him. Angels bow before him.
Angels bow before him.
Amen. We serve a mighty God. The angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Remember, he told all the angels to glorify him. So at his birth, the heavens opened up, and a host of angels rejoicing, because goodwill have came to mankind. The Prince of Peace was being born. Wow. Can you imagine those shepherds that experienced that? Can you imagine what sight that was to them? That was a major event. You're talking about E.T. phone home, close encounter of another. Now, yeah, that was sure enough a close encounter of a heavenly kind, not just another kind. My God. Anyway, let me get back to the lesson. Get me back to the lesson. We're on obedience and submission to divinely substitute authority. We see that in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, and Ephesians 6 and 1. So let's turn to Romans 13 and 1. We see here 13 and 1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. For there is no power but God. So all of you at the AA meetings, part of that little 12 step that y'all go through in recognizing there is a higher power, where this verse teaches you that there is no power but God. No. Your electric company got power because they're using the solar winds, or they're using the sunlight, or they're using the water from a dam. They're using natural gas. That all of that he put here. No power. So let every soul be subject unto the, not a, but the higher powers. Amen, somebody. For there is no power but God. The power that be are ordained of God. That means those of us that have authority, we're given our power, and we're ordained by God to utilize that power for the betterment of mankind, not to abuse it. So even our law enforcement, armed forces, and so on, those in military power, those in public power, their job, the power that they have is one to serve the people. And when they abuse it, they're abusing the power that God has given them. Therefore, they are disobedient. And you don't have to worry about it. But I would say, fret not because of evildoers, for they soon shall be cut down. But you got to fret. We ain't got to worry about them. God will take care of them. David was on the run from Saul. David didn't do no wrong at the time, but yet Saul wanted to kill him, because the people praise David more than him. My goodness. And David had a chance to remove Saul from the picture twice. But he said, it's not for me to touch God once elect. Even though God had rejected him, he had made up in his mind, if God want him gone, God know how to do it. God know how to fix it. When God get tired of him, all he had to do is say, don't wake up. And it'd just be over. So he knew that God was still in control. And he trusted the will of God concerning the matter. Amen. So once again, we're reading Romans 13 and 1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. For there is no power but of God. The powers, plural, that be are ordained of God. Amen. And so This is not part of the reading, but we'll read it anyhow. That next verse says, whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God, that's disobedient. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Mm. So when the police officer says, freeze, stop, and you choose to run, and something happened to you, deadly or hurtful, wow, maybe, just maybe, you didn't obey this text. Let me keep on moving. Ephesians 6 and verse number 1. Children, those that still need someone to reel them up, those that still is in needing of adult supervision. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now, for my community that has those letters that I will mess up, so you know who I'm talking to. Talking about children. Honor thy father and thy mother. So don't say thy father and thy father. And it don't say thy mother and thy mother. So if it's two women in the home, both claiming to be your mother, and he claiming to be husband and wife, or wife and wife, or I don't know what they call themselves now, but they're married. And on TV they say, oh, that's my wife. And you looking at it and say, aren't you a wife? How that happen? I thought the Bible classified marriage as a union between one man and one woman. But anyway, so I just want to point it out. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment. First commandment. Ooh, it's a commandment. So rebellion in the lives of a child might just pull out that text and say, you know, the scripture said I ain't got to do but obey one mama, so I ain't got to obey this one. I don't know. That might be some trouble. Anyway, let me keep on moving. Which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. So, it gives us instructions on obedience. So, say you're a new convert, new into Christianity, a new Christian, and the pastor of the church that you are attending, or the ministry that you receive salvation under, the leaders there, that pastor now is a shepherd to you, a spiritual father, if you would. Many churches have what they call a sainted mother, a mother of the church. And she's the one that look over the motherboard, and they do certain things to help support the pastor and teaching other women how to be wise and how to nurture their children, and so on and so forth. And then that mother of the church will be your in the Lord mother, and that pastor will be your in the Lord father. And because you're young in faith and you're still developing and growing,
it behooves you to obey. Amen. I'm just saying. Let me keep on moving. Okay. So, obedience here. Obedience. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And I know y'all say, oh, he's giving us a lot to read. Well, the Bible is big. And if you let Missionary Ken print it for you in Braille, that's going to be a whole lot of versions, a whole lot of volumes for you. So, yes, it's a big Bible. So, come on. Let's go through it together. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. All right. And hereby we do know that we know him if, I think I'm going to get into some trouble, Mr. Ken, here. So let me back up to read verse 1. Now, this is St. John. I'm sorry, 1 John, excuse me. 1 John. Yeah, the 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Mm-hmm. I'm a 1 Kenneth. I got a 2 Kenneth. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. I'm going to read down to it from verse 1. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. That you do what? Sin not. So the writer here is writing to us in the hopes that we do not sin. What is sin? Disobedience. What is disobedience? Lack of faith or no faith. So, little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, conditional, if any man sin, we have a advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sin. Amen. And so he is that for our sin, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So God is not just, Christ is not just the atonement for your sin and my sin, but he is the atonement for all of our sins. And so I do not have the right to think that somebody shouldn't be saved or don't deserve to be saved. So I'm to behave as if anyone can be saved. Don't care what kind of hellcat they are, they can be saved. Don't care what kind of heathen they are, they too can hear the gospel and make the conscious decision to turn from their wicked ways. And then verse 3 says, and hereby we do know that we know him. This is how we know him. Him who? Christ. Okay. If we keep his commandments, he that says, I know him and keep not his commandments, is a liar. Wow. So, my obedience in keeping the commandments of Christ and failure to obey makes me a liar if I say I know him. Or, in other words, if I say I'm a Christian I'm born again, but I'm still doing the things that I used to do sinful and have not tried to change them. Then I am a liar. So do I got much time? Okay, got a little bit more time. All right. So we're going to answer the question what? Doing God's will from the heart. Oh, I need to make sure all the mics are good. Hold on. Doing God's will from the heart. Amen. Yep, everybody's mic's still on. All right. All right. Is that a clear understanding what is meant by doing God's will from the heart? Is that a clear understanding, or do anyone have a question about that, concerning that, in that area of what does it mean to do God's will from the heart?
I got a good one out of that, Dave. Thank you very much, Pastor Bonnie.
Okay. Thank you. Doing God's will from the heart. I think I gave an example the other day about not broadcasting what you do for others, but you just do it. You don't have to tell the whole world that you paid somebody light bill. Just do it. Is God so blessed you that you're able to do it? Just do it. That's doing it from your heart. That light, people will see that their lights are not off, that they're on, and they will glorify the Father. And that's how we know we've done it from the heart. Because God got the glory, not us. But serving God on our terms. We're not to serve God just on our terms. Well, Lord, I done gave you Sunday and Wednesday. You know, and then that's not true. Because the church that you go to, probably hold church for an hour 30 minutes tops. And if they do an hour 35, you're upset. On Wednesday, they do 45 minutes. And if they go to an hour, you're upset. But yet you'll go to a ball game and stay there 3-4 hours. You'll go to a movie and get there early and stay till all the credits run. All the credits run. So that's not from the heart. If I've always got to put a time limit on the things of God, but I don't put a time limit on the things surrounding me in my life, or so-called life, then where is my obedience? Okay? Why? Why should I be obedient? Because God loves us and he's worthy. That's like asking you, why should you obey your parents when they're telling you to eat your vegetables? They know what's good for you. But I don't like broccoli. It's good for you. Eat it. Put some ranch dressing on it. It's going to be good. Ooh, it is good. And that's how most of us act or respond after we do it. We were reluctant to go witness. We were reluctant to do this or say that. But as soon as we did it, it was a release in our spirit. We felt so good.
But we have to understand that God loves us and he's worth it. He's worth us doing it because he does so much more for us. He proved his love for us. We know he proved his love on the cross. But let me use a different text here. Let me go to St. John chapter 5. Yeah, St. John. I'm sorry, not St. John. Excuse me once again. 1 John chapter 5. Missionary Ken would have got me on that one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. All right. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Whoa. That means when I hear people say, well, I would be saved, but, you know, I ain't ready yet. Well, I'll go to church, you know, on Easter. Who preaching now? Is it the same old pastor? See, we want to come to God with these conditions and demands. And he's already proved his love for us. And so here we see in verse 3, for this is the love of God. Now, prior to that, he had already told us, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And the follow-up verse is, you know, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Well, it makes you just want to keep on reading from there. And understand, brothers and sisters, God demands our obedience. We already read that Christ said a new commandment that I give you. So he demands our love in action, okay? Now, I'm running out of time here. I've got about 1, 2, 3, 4 steps concerning this level of growth. Step 1, know God's command. Step 2, draw on God's power to obey. Step 3, have the right attitude. Step 4, learn to deal with temptations. Wow. I'm going to start all back over. Maybe you didn't get these 4 steps. In learning how to be obedient and learning how to let that develop and grow in us, there are 4 steps that we can apply here, particular growth. And here's step 1, to know God's commands. We got to know God's command. Step 2, draw on God's power to obey. That means pull on God's power to obey. Inquire of God's power to keep you strong and to help you obey what it is he's saying and have said and want us to do. Amen, somebody. And number 3, have the right attitude. Wow. That means so much more, having the right attitude. Having the right attitude
And then step four, learn to deal with temptation. Be surprised how many Christians haven't overcome dealing with temptation, haven't overcome and gotten victory for their actions in this matter. But you can have it. It belongs to you. It is yours. But the problem is we have to learn how to wait on God. Yeah. We have to learn to wait for God to give us these instructions.
There's something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. But that's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
Wow. We got to learn how to wait on the Lord. As we read and study our word, we have to know that the commandments of God are there for us to help us. The Bible that we have today is given to us as scriptures. The Bible says over in 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that's all woman of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's the purpose. When we trust God like that, he does it for us. Why? Because we're his vessels. We're the church.
What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor? Or the staff? Is the church the music? The tradition? Or the ministries? These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away, and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan. A simple plan to plug into God at a weekend service. To charge up in a small group community, to live out using your gifts and passions, and to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it, and we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
So knowing that you are the church, you can draw on God's power to obey. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. So God will give us strength to obey his word because we are his representation to the world. Many people may not walk into a building that's called a church, but they'll walk into your restaurant. They'll walk into your business, your establishment. They'll walk into your life, and you are the church. And Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the utmost part of the earth. Somebody just say everywhere. Everywhere. You're going to be a witness everywhere you go. Why? Because you are God's church. And so we can pull on that power to obey. We got a very special group that love this station.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program
here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Hi, I'm a Christian.
And I'm a Christian too.
You know, in order to influence the world, we have to learn how to connect with them.
Oh, that's great. You know, I can connect. I'm bilingual.
Wow, you speak two languages.
Yeah, I speak English and Christianese.
Chinese, that's cool.
No, not Chinese, Christianese.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of that.
That's because they don't teach it in school.
Huh. Yeah, it doesn't ring a bell. Can you give me an example?
Well, I'd love to, but in order to show you how, I'd have to have someone here.
Well, that's great. Meet my friend Lauren.
Oh, you brought a friend.
Yeah.
That's great. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
You need to get saved. What I'm trying to say is you need to be born again.
So are you talking about like reincarnation or?
Look, if you don't get set, or if you're not born again, look, you basically, you just have to turn or burn, okay? Turn or burn.
Look, what my friend's trying to say is Jesus wants to have a real relationship with you and be a part of your life.
Oh, I get it.
See? I told you everyone understood Christianese.
Turn or burn. Are we going to people with the right attitude? Are we sharing Jesus the right way? We got to have the right attitude when approaching people. We represent God's kingdom. So we are to be kingdom minded. So the light to do God's will is something that we should do. Psalms 40:8 says, I delight to do thy will, O God, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Where's the law of God? Is it in your heart? Or is it in the book that's sitting on the coffee table collecting dust? That's a very good question. Where have you put the law of God? Because if it's on your coffee table, what is it? What if you need it during your commute to work and you have this crazy road rage person trying to drive you off the road? What you gonna do? So we got to be mindful that we are the light of the world. This day, I'm reading for you Deuteronomy 26:16. This day that the Lord thy God has commanded thee to do these statutes and judgment, thou shalt therefore keep
and do them with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Thou. And so we're moving forward and we're to do the things of God. How? With all of thy heart and with all of thy soul. That means surely committed. Are you surely committed? Watch God really bring your purpose in life to focus when you stop trying to do things that he hasn't called you to do. Work can be fun and give you energy when you do it right. Hey, we're at the end of the program. I had one more. Wow. Learn to deal with it. Yeah, that's the biggest one there. We have to definitely come back and talk about that. Because many of our problems is we haven't learned how to deal with certain things. And so because we haven't learned how to deal with them, we misbehave. We misrepresentate. Because we don't fully understand. So once again, thank you for being on the program tonight. I want to thank all of you, my listeners, for listening, for your added comments. Thank you. It made the program. It is open. Anybody have any last remarks, comments, questions? Here is the opportunity to ask questions. We have a few more minutes. I'd be glad to answer any questions surrounding tonight's topic of obedience. Amen. And any questions or concerns?
Hey, Dad.
Hey, how you doing, Emily?
All I got to say, that was a good message, but that was also a stump to that, a toe stomper tonight, too.
Well, when you can't say amen, say ouch.
Or just say, watch out and duck.
They say, I didn't come aiming at you, but if I hit you, I didn't mean to miss you. Amen. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. Amen. Anybody have a question, comment?
When you were talking about obedience and the different things there, and you were talking about like the Israelites being stiff-necked, etc. Back to my original comment about the different service dogs I've had. One thing they watch for before they ever even get, when the dogs get into training, one of the things they look for is if the dog has a rebellious spirit, if you will. If the dog has that kind of nature, they're rejected from training before they ever get through the process. They're looking for service dogs that are obedient and willing workers.
Humble.
And another thing they always do, you were talking about the right attitude. Well, with a service dog, the attitude is given to the dog by instead of using food to reward the dog, Pastor Bonnet, how they're rewarded is through constant praise.
Okay.
Most people don't know that, but with a seeing eye dog, they're rewarded through constant praise. And when they've done wrong, just like the Lord does us, they're chastened.
Yes.
See, so when you see a handler with like a seeing eye dog, and you see them jerk slightly on the lead, not real roughly, but just slightly enough to give a correction, that's their way of communicating to the dog that they've done something wrong and that it's being disobedient, while yet when you see the handler reach down and pet the dog, and that's why they say hands off when the dog is working in harness, because that dog is supposed to only be getting praise from the handler. So the dog knows where his praise is coming from. So the dog would be a more willing worker.
That's good. Missionary Ken, I see your next sermon, sir. I see your next sermon. That will be a very great sermon. Put it together. I'm going to be listening for it on one of these Wednesday programs or Thursday program. I believe it's coming.
All I got to do is pull up my notes. I already did one. It was actually a series that I put together. It was called Lessons from a Leader Dog.
Yes.
And I was not only talking about that, but here's another point that I brought up that's very interesting. Now, the first seeing eye dog, let me see how smart you are, Pastor Bonnet. What breed
not there,
was the
not
first
there.
Seeing eye dog?
Not there. I don't know. It was a mutt.
Nope. German Shepherd. German Shepherd was the first seeing eye dog. But now, what percentage does the German Shepherd have in being trained as a seeing eye dog? What percentage do they hold?
Probably more of a kind of low, I want to say maybe 35%, 40%.
Close, but you're wrong. Actually, the Labrador Retriever holds 50% of all trained seeing eye dogs or service dogs. The German Shepherd now comes in second at 25%. And the remaining 25% are of other breeds. So isn't it interesting?
Mm-hmm.
The dog that showed the world that the dog could be used as a viable guide for the blind, he doesn't hold his head up with pride and say, well, I'm better than you when he sees the lab. He doesn't stick his nose in the air and act prideful. And nor does the lab stick his nose in the air saying, well, I've got 50%. But yet they both know they got a common job and a common purpose. Just like the white man and the black man, if they know that they both have a common goal and a common job in Jesus Christ, they don't have to stick their nose up in the air saying, I'm better than you.
That's good.
The Bible says we're made out of one blood.
Amen. Amen.
Good preaching right
so
there, like I said.
Yes, sir. So that's final step. We have to learn to deal with temptation. Somebody may be a greater breed, a different breed, but you learn how to deal with it. Learn how to deal with it. First Corinthians 10 and 13 says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also maketh a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Isn't that a good God?
Yep. So, like I said, all I got to do is just pull up my old message notes on that, and trust me, I might use it instead of a Wednesday or Thursday we have usually Brother Quick on, and Fridays are taken up with our big studies on David and stuff. I'll just save it for a Monday show. I'll save it for a Monday show when you're not feeling so chipper, or the Lord don't give you something, I'll have it ready. Because that gives me two in my pocket.
All right. Well, we got a lot going on. We got the
New Believer Study Guide, and we're going through it step by step. I try to give this every other year in detail. Sometimes I do give it every year. I try to make sure some things I think are refreshers, and we all need to refresh our mind what the word is declaring unto us. Well, we are at the end of our show tonight. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you for being a part of the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. It has been my pleasure to be with you. Hey, do you know Jesus for the pardoning of your sin? Have you made him your Lord and Savior? If no, you can do it even now. Turn to your Bibles, Romans 10, 9 and 10. That leads you your way. When you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart the Lord Jesus, you can be saved. You don't have to die. Don't stay disobedient. Go ahead and obey the word of God and be saved. Be born again. Be added to the kingdom of heaven. And you'll be blessed because of it. Yes, you will. Hey, once again, from Brother Charles, Missionary Ken, and the whole rest of the gang, we want to say thank you for being with us on tonight. We love you with the love of Christ. You are able to reach to us through the Blog Talk platform. If you reach to our status there, you can drop comments and in there, and we'll get them, and we'll get to see what you're saying. If you receive Christ from one of these programs, let us know, so we can bear witness with you of your conversion. We just want to know. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Have a wonderful evening. We'll be back tomorrow night with the words from the King. Join us then. God bless you and God keep you. Good night, one, and good night, all.